Luke's Gospel in chapter 19, we read these words. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This fact, this declaration that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, is of great comfort to the child of God. There's comforting knowledge in knowing that our salvation does not depend upon our seeking God. We are not saved because we sought him. We are not secure because of something we have done or something we must continue to do. Our salvation does not stand in what we do or what we think. It does not stand in our strength or our effort. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Salvation stands in the fact that God in Christ came into this world to seek out his own. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came to seek out his own. He came into this world of sin, this world of darkness, this world of enmity, this world of bitterness, this world that rejected him, this world that sought to put him to death. Christ came into this world to suffer death, to lay down his life, to be rejected by all, to be hung upon a cross under the wrath of God because of the sins of his people, in order that he might take those sins away, in order that he might forgive those sins, in order that he might reconcile that people who were at enmity with God, in order that he might save a people which was lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. His coming is twofold. He came to seek and to save. He came into this world to head to the cross to save his people. And he came to seek them out. Today, he continues to seek that which was lost. To seek lost sinners. To seek lost souls. To seek those who are dead in trespasses and sins. to seek those like you and I who have gone astray. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned our backs on God. We've all turned our backs on our Maker. We've all turned our backs on the truth. We've all turned our backs on the gospel. Today we turn our backs on the gospel. Naturally speaking, our hearts are hard. They're hardened. We don't want to know. We don't want to hear. We don't care. There is none that seeketh. There is none that understandeth. And yet, despite our rebellion, despite our hardness of heart, despite our disinterest, despite our enmity, despite the fact that we've never sought God and we don't care for God and we don't care for his salvation, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He seeks us out. And no matter how far astray we have wandered, no matter how far off we have gone, and no matter how far off we may continue to go, no matter how hardened our hearts are, no matter how sinful we've become, no matter how rebellious we are, if we are his, if we are that which was lost, whom he has chosen unto salvation, he will seek us out. He seeks us out. He finds us. He comes unto us wherever we are. And he saves us in spite of all we are and all we do. No matter how resistant we may be, no matter how unbelieving we may be, no matter how disinterested we may be, he will come unto us in the gospel. He will find us, he will seek us, and he will save us. This is of great comfort to those who are brought to hear the truth of the gospel, brought to know their state before a holy God. It's of little interest to those who know not this state. It's of little interest to those who are quite content in their own strength, their own wisdom, their own ways, indeed in their own religion, in their own self-righteousness. Because religious or not, we are by nature essentially self-righteous. We live as though if there was a God, and there was a reckoning, he should save us. We should be all right because I am essentially good. We look upon others as worse than ourselves. We think of ourselves as fine. We are essentially self-righteous. We justify our every deed and our every action by looking upon others as though they're worse and us and ourselves as though we're better. Even if we're wicked, even if we are criminal, even those who go around living a life of absolute sin, a chaotic life, a life of criminality, still have a sense in which they think they are better than others. They're smarter than others, they're quicker than others, they're cleverer than others. They don't get caught like others get caught. And they think there's something in them which makes them better. And essentially this is how we exist in this world. We don't fear death and we don't fear the God who sustains us because, one, we don't consider him. And two, if ever we do, we think that surely we'll be all right. So we go astray, seeking our own ends and putting the things of God to the back of our mind. When we're young, we live as though life goes on forever. We grow up as a child thinking we have yet to grow. We become a young man or a young lady thinking we have the opportunities of life stretching ahead of us. Life is something that lays before us, yet to be fulfilled. And we live essentially as though it will go on forever. But soon time passes, and soon time stands the other side of us, and soon we're old, and yet we still walk backwards towards the grave, looking back in reflection upon that which we've done, but never looking forwards to that which is to come. We still turn our back upon God and upon the reality that's about to befall us. Soon we will step backwards over that cliff edge that plunges us into eternity, but we never like to look towards it because we want to pretend that this world will carry on forever. What fools we are! And yet in a moment we will stand before God, and in a moment we will have to answer to him. And we all know this as a reality. We know this as a reality. The world will tell us otherwise. The world will tell us there is no God. The world will tell us that this world and the universe came into being of its own accord. The world will play tricks with our minds with all sorts of ideas of what life is and what existence is. But we know there's a God. Else why do we fear death? Else why do we fear death? You say, I don't fear death. That's because you don't think about it. But when death comes to your door, when illness comes to your door, when you know it's a reality, when you're old or when you're in hospital, about to die, when terminal illness comes your way and you know that death awaits, fear and trembling comes upon you. You know that death is there. And you don't know what's beyond it. Or you do, but you pretend not to know. If you believed what science, falsely so-called, claims, that you're nothing and that you return to nothing, you just fall asleep, then why do you fear? We fear because we know there's a God unto whom we must answer. And yet, despite this innate knowledge which is in all of us, despite the conscience within, we never seek him. We never seek his righteousness. We never seek his kingdom. We never turn from our sin. We just go on like fools, grasping at everything we can here and below, seeking out our own glory, feathering our own nest, entertaining ourselves with all the distractions of life until it's all gone in a moment. We never seek him. Yet he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came. He is come, and he comes to seek and to save that which was lost. He made us in Adam. He created this world. He breathed life into man. We are his creation. But when man fell into sin, and sin entered the world, and death by sin, that which God made was lost unto sin and condemnation. Yet before man fell, and before ever God spake and made this world, before ever he spake and brought you and me into being, he had chosen a people in Christ unto salvation. He had chosen a people who were lost, for whom Christ would come, for whom Christ would die, and whom he would seek with his gospel. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. like that shepherd of whom Jesus spake in the parable, who lost the sheep and who left the 99 in the sheepfold to go and search for the one lost sheep. He went out, as it were, into the wilderness, climbing the mountain, searching for the sheep, caring not for his own life, caring not for the dangers that might be, caring not for the wild animals he might encounter. He went searching for that sheep, and when he found that sheep, he brought it home, and brought it home safely to the flock. He sought it out. He went as far as he had to go. He kept looking until he found it. And so it is in the gospel. Wherever there's a sheep that Christ has died for, if you're his sheep, if he chose you before the foundation of the world, wherever that sheep may be, wherever you may be, if you're his, he will seek you. He will find you. He will come unto you wherever you are. No matter how far off, no matter how lost, no matter how sunk in sin. And he will find you with his gospel. He seeks that which was lost. As we said, we never sought him. We've never sought him. But you might say, are there not passages in the scripture which speaks of us seeking? There are. Luke 11 tells us. Jesus says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And so it shall. If we came unto God and sought him, we'd find him. If we came unto God and cried for his mercy, we'd receive it. If we sought him truly, if we knocked, the door would be opened. But we don't. The promise is there and it stands, but we don't. We don't seek, so we never find. We don't knock, so the door's never opened. Despite all the truth that's declared unto us, despite the fact that God repeatedly comes and stands before us and presents the truth of his gospel to us, we never seek him. Every day he grants life unto us. The sun rises, the sun shines, the heat of the sun shines down unto us. God speaks unto us, and we never seek him. Every day he gives us a day in which we may cry out unto God, and we never cry out unto him. Every day he gives us hours in the day in which we may call out unto God, in which we may pray, in which we may seek out the truth, and we never do. How many copies of the Bible have been printed and circulated throughout the world? How easy it is to get hold of one and read it. Yet we never pick it up and we never seek out the truth. Mankind says, oh, that's rubbish, and he never read it to know. He never reads it to know what it says. What fools we are. Our minds are closed without ever knowing. God speaks every day. Every day we go to sleep, the next morning he rises again. The sun rises up before us. God speaks unto us again and says, seek me and ye shall find. And we don't. We get up. We go about the things we want to do. But seeking God, seeking his son, seeking the truth, hearing the gospel is never on our list. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. We never ask and we never seek. There is none that seeketh, no, not one. Romans 3 tells us there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. None. Not by nature. Not until God begins a work in our heart. Not until God intervenes. Not until God sounds an alarm. Not until God awakens our soul. When he begins to draw us, then we may begin to cry out. Then we may know. Then we may fear that which is to come. Then we may know that we need salvation. Then we may know that we need to know God. Then we begin to cry out unto him. But he's first sought us. Until that day, there is none that seeketh. Except the Lord makes us willing, we will never seek him. We will never hear. And we will never care. Except the Lord makes us willing. But that's exactly what he does when he comes to seek and to save that which is lost. My people shall be willing in the day of my power, the psalmist says in Psalm 110. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. Because until the day of God's power comes upon us, until God brings his gospel in power unto us, we're not willing and we don't seek. But when he begins a work of grace in the heart, when he comes and we hear that gospel, not in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost with much assurance, when we hear that word in power, then he calls and he draws us by his Spirit, and we begin to turn, and we are turned by him. And we call and we seek. Psalm 34:4, David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. When God made David willing, when God showed him his state, when God made him to fear that which would come upon him, when God showed him that he was a sinner, then he sought. Then he cried out unto God and God heard him. Has God brought you there? Do you fear death? Do you fear Almighty God? Do you fear what lies beyond the grave? Or do you just not care? Is your mind, is your head made of dough? Are you blinded to the truth? Are you yet a fool who thinks life will go on forever? Is all your effort in trying to build up something in this world which will go in a moment? Or do you look beyond the grave to that which is everlasting and consider what then? What will I have then? What will occur then? Great men have built up great empires and done great things in their lives which are taken from them when they disappear from this world. Julius Caesar, the Caesars of Rome, ruled over great empires and yet they died, some not old. In their 40s or younger, gone in a moment. Mighty men of business have built up multi-million, multi-billion corporate empires, but it's all for nothing. They grow old and their riches are useless to them, and then they're gone. Winston Churchill. Help lead this country, Britain, to peace through the Second World War. And he helped establish peace in Europe in the years that followed. And as an old man, he looked back over his years in power and said, I've lived many years and achieved many things, but all for nothing. He could see so easily how everything he'd strived for could be taken away in a moment, how the peace that had been brought about in this world could soon be destroyed. All the greatest efforts of man are for nothing. They can go in a moment. An old age came upon him, and eternity awaited. It will come upon you. It will come upon me, or perhaps not. Many are taken when they're young. Many die when they're young. Oh, may God teach us something of what we are, even when we're young, that we may fear death, that we may fear the Lord, that we may fear the consequences of our sin. Oh, may he teach us what we are before him, a sinner. That we're full of sin. That we are sin. That we've never considered God. We've never sought God. We've never loved God. We've never cared for God. Yet he's the one that keeps us alive this moment at this hour. And he's the one before whom we must stand. We will stand before him. We know we will. And yet we never seek him. Until he comes in the gospel, in the day of his power, and makes us willing, we never seek. None do. You don't. I didn't. None do. Because we're lost. We're lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're lost. And the lost don't know the way. They're lost. The lost don't know their way. The lost sheep doesn't know its way. That's why it's lost. It's wandered off. It doesn't know where to go. It doesn't even know how to find him if it did seek. Even if it got to the point of feeling cold and lost and lonely and feared death and tried to return, it wouldn't know the way. We don't know the way. We don't know the way unto God. We don't know what to do about our sin. Even when we come to see that we're a sinner and come to realize our state, we don't know what to do about it. We try to clothe ourselves in our own self-righteousness. We try to improve ourselves. We try to hope that God might be more pleased with us if we start making amends for the things we've done. We try to turn from our iniquitous ways. We try to turn from our rebellion. We try to turn from our wayward ways. We try to live in a better way in the hope that God might be pleased with us. We're lost and we don't know what to do. We don't know the way to God. We try to get to him through every other way. We turn to this religion and that religion. We turn to this behavior and that behavior. We turn to the law of God. We turn to our own self-righteousness. We try to get to heaven by our own strength. We try, as it were, to build our own Tower of Babel. Here we go. We'll get up. We'll save ourselves through this means and that means. Natural man who fears death tries what he can to sustain life. Oh, if we could just cure this disease and cure that ailment, we'll be able to live longer. Oh, if we can find a way that reduces the effects of aging, we'll last longer. Oh, if we can find a way to sort out the climate in this world, the world will last longer. He does everything he can to patch up that which he sees decaying and destroyed. And it's all for nothing. It's all brought to nothing. Because he's lost. And he doesn't know the way. And he doesn't want to know the way. Because when one comes and stands in the midst and says, "This is the way," he says, "Away with this man. Crucify him, crucify him." When one comes over him and says, "I am the way," he says, "Go away, I don't want to know." And he goes about finding his own way because we don't want to know the way. We see this in this chapter. Jesus came to Jericho and he comes to Zacchaeus, a publican and a sinner. And the people there, when Jesus came unto Zacchaeus and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he came down and made haste and received him joyfully. When the people saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. All the people saw Christ come to Jericho, and Christ came unto this sinner. Christ sought him out. He came unto this one whom he would save, and all the people murmured because they thought that salvation should come to the righteous, not to sinners. They thought that salvation should be a reward unto them for their wisdom and their religion and their righteousness. Something that they have done, something that they have said. Later, Christ taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. The religious there sought to destroy him. The way unto God came into their midst, and these who were lost sought to destroy him. And the way unto God can come into your midst and stand before you in the gospel. And stand before you in the preaching of the gospel. As in this message which you hear this day at this hour. It can come before you and stand before you. And you in your heart seek to destroy it. If you could destroy the preacher and silence his voice, you'd do so. If you could go somewhere else so that you could not hear, you would do so. If you could destroy Christ on high who sends the message by his preacher, you'd destroy him. Because you don't want to know the way. And yet Christ came in the midst of such a people. And he came to a sinner called Zacchaeus, who until that day had been a publican and a sinner, stealing wickedly from the people, enriching himself at everybody else's expense, seeking all that he could gain in this world, having not a thought for God. And yet that day, Christ came unto him and said unto him, "This day, Zacchaeus, is salvation come to this house, inasmuch as Zacchaeus was the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Zacchaeus was just like those scribes and Pharisees, not religious like them perhaps, but just as hardened in his heart to the truth, just as wicked and sinful, just as lost. And yet Christ found him, changed him, made him willing, and made him hear. in the parable that Christ goes on to speak following his encounter with Zacchaeus, he speaks of this nobleman with a kingdom and the reaction of the citizens of his kingdom who hated him and sent a message after him saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." That's what we are. We are citizens in this world, as it were, of God's kingdom, of God's world. We live here in the world he's created. And our hearts say, "We will not have this man to reign over us." Far from seeking him, in our lost condition, we seek to destroy him. Yet he does reign, and he does rule, and he will preach his gospel until all the lost sheep for whom he died are found. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come for the lost sheep of Israel. The lost sheep of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, we read that then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. He's come for the lost sheep of Israel. The lost whom he seeks are a chosen people. They are the lost sheep of Israel, the sheep that have wandered astray, the sheep that have gone afar off, the sheep that are lost, but the lost sheep of Israel. A nation, a people, a chosen people, a called out people, a separated people. It is these whom he's seeking. In the midst of this world, out of the multitudes who are born of Adam, there are those who are of Israel, chosen of God unto salvation, chosen before the foundation of the world, chosen in Christ, for whom he came, for whom his blood was shed, chosen unto salvation. And he comes in the gospel to seek them out. And he will come and return with his gospel, and return with his gospel, and return with his gospel, until everyone for whom he died hears and believes. This is a chosen people, an elect people. He didn't choose everyone. We cannot presume upon his salvation. We cannot presume that we are a sheep and not a goat, that we are of Israel and not of Egypt. He came for Israel, the lost sheep of Israel, not the nation, the physical nation of Israel, but the spiritual Israel, chosen out of the Jews and the Gentiles through all time, a spiritual Israel, a chosen people, a called out people. Are you one of them? Is he seeking you? Has he prepared your heart? He came to seek and to save. The day he came to Jericho, when Zacchaeus was there, He met with a man who was made willing. He met with a man who received him. He met with a man whose heart was prepared. Zacchaeus was brought to know he was a sinner. And he received him. Has he prepared you? He met him in Jericho, a reminder of that city who in ancient times Joshua came unto with the people of Israel. And that mighty city with its mighty walls full of sinners had that harlot Rahab who received the Hebrew spies and who hung her scarlet line out of her window and who was delivered from the destruction that came upon that city. Salvation came to that city. Salvation came to that house in that day. Joshua and the people of Israel circled it with the gospel. They sought it out. They came with the trumpet of the gospel and they went around it and 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 around it. And then the seventh time they went around it, blowing the trumpets. And the walls of the city fell down flat. God persevered. He came with his gospel and he went around that city seven times until that hour when the walls fell down flat and Rahab was delivered. With Zacchaeus, he comes again to Jericho. He comes with his gospel. He blows the trumpet of the gospel and Zacchaeus, that wicked sinner, is delivered from that city. When all else murmured and said that he was gone, Jesus was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. When the chief priests, when the priests and the scribes sought to destroy him, when everyone else there hated and rejected him, yet the gospel came to Jericho. And to Zacchaeus, God preached his gospel until the lost heard and were saved. If you're his, no matter how many times you may hear, no matter how far off you may go, no matter how hardened your heart may become, if Jesus came for you, if you're a lost sheep of Israel, that gospel will come. And come, and come, and come. And the trumpet will be blown and blown until the walls of your heart fall down flat and the truth of the gospel enters in. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He won't just seek us. He won't just find us where we are and preach the gospel unto us. But if we're his, he will save us. Christ came into this world to save his people. He didn't just come and preach. When his ministry began, 30 years old, when he began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When he preached the gospel and called upon sinners to repent, to turn unto God from whom they had turned away. When he began to preach and to declare the kingdom of God, he didn't just preach. He didn't just present the message. He didn't just seek the lost. He didn't just find them. But he came to save them. His whole ministry upon this earth. His walking around Israel. His circling, as it were, of Jericho round and around and around and around, silently pacing the perimeter of Jericho, led up to that one day when Christ would be taken outside of the city of Jerusalem. Having gone to Jericho, he returned from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he was taken outside the city and hung up and crucified. He was taken to the cross. He was taken to the place of execution to pay the price, to suffer the cost of salvation. Today, he says unto Zacchaeus, this day is salvation come to this house. This day. And that day came because on that day, on another day, Christ was hung upon a cross outside Jerusalem in order to save his people from their sins. He was hung. He was hung up upon a cross. He was crucified. He came to his people, and the people cried out, "Away with this man. We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him." And he comes unto you in this gospel, and your heart cries out, "Away with this man. I will not have this man to reign over me. Crucify him." And your heart takes him, and it leads him outside the city. It marches him outside of your Jericho, and it takes this Saviour, it takes this gospel, and it nails him to a tree. Your heart takes him, and your unbelief takes him, and your rejection takes him, and you pierce his hands unto the cross, and you pierce his feet unto the cross, and you lift him up to die, because your heart, with the hearts of the scribes and the Pharisees, sought to destroy him and seeks to destroy him. You never sought him, but you sought to destroy him. You never seek him, but you seek to destroy him. And you pierce his hands and you pierce his feet. And you murder the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Every time we hear the gospel and shut our ears to the truth, every time we go away in unbelief, every time we refuse to believe, every time we fail like Zacchaeus to receive the Lord joyfully, we take the Lord and his gospel and we nail it to that tree and we pierce the Prince of Heaven. We pierce the Prince of Life. We pierce the Son of Man and the Son of God to that tree and we destroy him. Our seeking is a seeking to put him to death. We sought to destroy him. We seek to put him to death. We seek to silence his voice and silence the voice of his witnesses, to silence the voice of all preachers who come in his name, declaring his name and his salvation. They come and stand before us and say, "Behold the Lamb of God," and we take that lamb and we burn it. They come and say, "Behold salvation in Jesus Christ," and we nail him to a tree and destroy him. We will not believe. And yet every time he circles our Jericho and sounds his trumpet, he seeks and saves that which is lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Today you sit in your Jericho, and the four walls of Jericho stand up high and thick and strong around the walls of your heart. And you sit there in your security, laughing at that people that goes around the wall silently with their gospel, with their Jesus, with their Christ and their salvation. You sit surrounded by the walls of your heart, and you sit there in comfort, knowing they can never get in. They can never touch me. Here I am, and here I will remain. And yet, on that day, the trump is blown, and the power of the gospel causes the walls to fall down flat. If you're one of the lost sheep of Israel, no matter how great the walls are around your heart, no matter how safe and secure your Jericho may be, no matter how great your unbelief, this gospel will come in power. Your heart will be made willing in the day of God's power. Your heart will be turned. God will prepare. He will bring the events of life upon you, the storms of life. He will bring death to stand before your gaze. He will bring your unrighteousness and sin to stand before you and bring horrors into your heart and mind. He will bring the understanding that judgment and condemnation awaits. He will cause you to cry out for mercy. He will cause you to turn and to cry out unto him for salvation. And he will say with the blast of the seventh trump, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as you are a son of Abraham." And you will know the joy of receiving he who said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And you will bless God for the seven times the gospel circled your walls, until eventually God made the walls to fall down and life to enter in, and salvation to visit even you. Oh, may God give us ears to hear and hearts to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ.